How many of you enjoy phone calls? Receiving phone calls from friends or family? Well, I got a call recently. I was called. Guess by who? No, his name was Bob. It was not God, it was Bob. And it was a great phone call because Bob had something very, very, very important to tell me. Bob called me and Bob greeted me by name, Father Patrick McConnell. They knew me well. Father Patrick McConnell, so glad I'm talking with you. I have something very important to tell you. You have won the Clearinghouse Sweepstakes. I was really excited about this phone call. So much so that I thanked him very briefly for his phone call and wished him a good day. You know, I think it's, how many of you love those phone calls where, you know, telemarketers and things of this nature? It's always, oftentimes I hear many people complaining about those calls. But those calls are invitations, are they not? That's what they are. They're inviting you to probably buy something or do something. So why is it, why do we not like the call or the invitation? What is it that annoys us about those or makes us frustrated when someone is inviting us or calling us, giving us an opportunity? I think it's very fair to say that we doubt their intentions. Now, I did not tell you that Bob had a Jamaican accent. And I quickly realized this probably wasn't what he really was telling me. So clearly I was doubting my caller's intentions for me. And this is often the world we live in today. When it comes to being called to a job or a career, we are all often very cautious about trusting our employers even to have our best interests in mind. So there's always contracts signed and always very clear conversations. And I was just talking to an employer recently that says he feels as though the application process has changed. It's went from me interviewing the future employee to the future employee interviewing me, he said, and I found that very interesting, how we have come to be less and less trusting of those who might be calling us. And this, I think, comes from a natural, very human instinct. The natural human instinct is to seek our own needs and desires. Which is very human. Yes, there are certain things that we all need. There are certain things that we all want. And frankly, there are certain things that we all deserve. And so we have come to believe that it is our responsibility to achieve them. That nothing is free. And so no one is going to offer it for us. And so we need to obtain it for ourselves. When I was a child, one of my favorite classes in high school, or in school, was recess. And one of the most important activities of recess usually started right at the beginning of recess. We would all quickly decide what activity we would do. Generally speaking, our favorite activity when I was a younger kid, a good Catholic school, was dodgeball. The only way we could physically hurt each other without getting in trouble. And so the first activity was always the selection process, right? And there was always many creative ways of doing so. You guys remember like eeny, meeny, miny, moe, catch a tiger by the toe? You know that great rhyme? Well, that was usually, that was to pick the team leaders, right? And then the team leaders would then pick who was on their team, and you all line up on the wall, and then they would go, "You are on my team, you're on my team." And boy, I tell you, Nathan Henry, I wanted to be on his team. And I was so anxious. I didn't care if I was the last person picked. All I cared was that Nathan Henry picked me for his team. That was so important to me as a child. It's so important, obviously, that I still remember that man's name. I have no idea where he is or what he's doing, but I still remember Nathan Henry. And I think a big part of me wanted to be chosen by him. Not for any other reason than I think just generally because I looked up to him. He was important to me as a friend. And I really felt important if I was on his team. Where have we lost this? Because this is only a taste of what the call of Christ is like. God is calling you to be part of his team. And it's not just dodgeball. It's so much more important. He so much longs for you to be part of his life and to be part of his, and for him to be part of yours. Jesus Christ came into the world to call you, to beckon you. And then I have to ask the question, are you willing to volunteer? Volunteer. How many of you were around during the Vietnam, during the draft? How many of you were around for the draft? Raise your hand. So you all remember that interesting experience where you had an option. You could either be drafted or you could volunteer. And I know that there are many of you that did volunteer to serve our country, and I'm sure many of you also were drafted, and I thank you for your service to our country. But there was a different approach to service to the country if you were a drafted man or if you were a volunteered man or woman. My apologies. And so it was a different, oftentimes, my understanding after conversations with many of the people that served our country, it was that they were kind of treated differently, whether you were drafted or you volunteered. And I'm not sure if it's fair or not, but that's the case. But I think the basic understanding is that one person was chosen, the other person was willingly chosen. Whether that is totally the case or not, I think there's some truth to that, especially in our vocation to follow after Christ. You are chosen, period, by the fact that you were baptized as a little baby, but are you willingly accepting that call? Are you willing and eager to follow after Christ? I think this is what is important. Not that you accept the fact that you have been chosen, but that you're willing to volunteer yourself, as we heard in our first reading from Isaiah. He wanted to be sent. Let me share with you a story of what that looks like. So Maximilian Kolbe was a Franciscan friar, a conventual Franciscan friar, and he lived in Poland. Worked very diligently in the 1930s and 40s on dissipating the faith and developed a community called the Militia Immaculata, which is an organization that has strong devotion to the Blessed Mother and would dissipate the message of Mary, that of peace and love and devotion to Christ. He became so popular and so effective that he had one of the largest printing presses in all of the world, and one of the largest religious communities known in the known world at the time. Until World War II broke out in Poland. He was obviously one of the primary targets of the Nazi regime, and was soon captured and sent to Auschwitz, where he was put in prison in what was at the time called the priest block, where he spent years in service and in isolation. One of the policies in Auschwitz was if someone was to escape, that 10 random prisoners were selected to be executed as a consequence to anybody who escaped. And so one day, someone had escaped successfully, and they lined up all those inmates all those people, prisoners. And again, it was kind of like dodgeball, only the consequences were far worse. And the soldiers started going down the line, picking different prisoners and pulling them forward, and they all knew their fate. One man was pulled forward and started screaming out, "I have a family, I have a family, don't pick me, don't pick me." Maximilian Kolbe was only a couple men down. And as this happened, Maximilian stepped forward and bellowed out, "I do not have a family, pick me." And for some unknown reason, the Nazis shoved the previous prisoner back in the line and dragged Maximilian and the 9 other prisoners into a incineration chamber where they were killed. Maximilian Kolbe volunteered. Like Isaiah in our first reading, he said, "Choose me." In our daily lives, are we willing to step forward, to put ourselves out on the line, to make ourselves available to Christ and His call for us? Are we eager to accept each day as an invitation to volunteer for God's mission in this world today? Yes, I know oftentimes when we hear these readings, especially our gospel, we hear this concept of what could be a big V vocation idea. What is your vocation, whether you're called to be a priest or a married person, whether you're called to be a single minister or a religious, whatever it might be, I think that the most important vocation is the one that requires you to say yes today to Christ, to be willing to live out this radical life of selfless love that Christ has for us. And to be willing to give up whatever it takes to do so. Brothers and sisters, God is calling. And He's calling to sell you something. And this something is His life. And the only thing He asks you to give Him in return is your yes.